You are now tuning in to another Motivated for Christ podcast hosted by me, your boy TJ, on an Anchor app. Help me motivate people for Christ. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another Motivated for Christ episode 2 here. Hope y'all liked the first episode one with Jennifer Lewis. It was an excellent interview with her. Big shouts out to her. But right now I have a very special guest, one of my good friends for a long time. Would you like to introduce yourself to the people?
Hello, everyone. My name is Sandora Irvin. I am, like I said, a really good friend. We grew up in Fort Lauderdale together. I went to Fort Lauderdale High School. I had opportunity to do some great things, play basketball overseas, spent 6 years in WNBA, graduated from Texas Christian University. So I'm a Horn Frog, and I'm just happy to be here today with my good friend.
Good. Big up to the Horn Frogs. You know, I know I said that wrong, but we organic right now. You know, this is what we do. You know, and I'm kind of glad to have her here, you know, with me, and, you know, we're going to try to motivate people and motivate people who are listening to the podcast right now. So, Sandora, can you please tell us a little bit about WNBA and, you know, why you was playing in there and how Christ really moved you from that to where you're at right now?
Okay. Well, like I said, I went to Fort Lauderdale High School, attended college at Texas Christian University. Always knew that I want to play in the WNBA. I was drafted first round third pick. I faced a lot of challenges, I would say. For me, it was a big challenge going to the WNBA. I would say more so of when I was in college and in high school, I was, you know, that player, you know. But once you get into the WNBA, everybody's that player. Everybody's good, you know. It's just like NBA and playing those type of leagues, it's everybody's on that level. So it's challenging. But not just just basketball wise, but also mentally, because now money is involved and it becomes more of entertainment. It becomes more of whereas when you're in college, you know, you have a contract where it can't be taken away, but at a WNBA level, everybody's after your spot. You know, you're competing at that level, so you have to come with it every day. You know, and you also have now as a platform where fans can come in and say what they want to say. You know, so there's a lot more that goes into basketball when you start getting paid to play.
So was it a type of fear when you first got there? Did you lose the love for the game? You know what, I'm still going to ball out. I'm going to do my thing because, you know, I'm in the WNBA. But it's like you say, it's more to it than versus college, and you have no fear. Was it fear involved when you first got there?
I don't know if it was fear necessarily. Of course, you know, you as a rookie, you're nervous when you go in, and you're playing with some people that you actually looked up to. You're playing against. I remember the first time I walked into the room and I saw Lisa Leslie, and I had to remind myself that I was getting ready to, you know, guard her, and I had to compose myself, you know. So you're playing with the greats, you know. So I think that every rookie and every player, you know, goes through that where they're like, okay, you know, that was Lisa Leslie. This is somebody that there's one of my teammates. She's out of Miami, Florida. Marie Ferdinand Harris, I used to watch her commercials, and we became great friends, you know, so you got those type of things. But I would say more of, like I said, you deal with a lot. I think my first year, I was drafted into Phoenix with the Phoenix Mercury, and I played with players like Donna Taurasi and the Penny Taylor. And my coach told me not to shoot the ball, You know, that's one thing I was told. You know, you become a kind of a role player. Mm-hmm. You know, pass the ball to Don Terazi or pass the ball to these players. I don't know if everybody else knew I had a conversation with her, but that's the conversation I had. So my confidence, I had never had anyone to tell me that before.
Wow.
When I was in high school, I was that player, you know, that would get the ball. I always had the ball. When I was in college, I got the ball, you know, 95% of the time. So to have a coach tell me not to shoot the ball, that was different. But it did something to me internally, and it's actually affected me for a long time where I became very passive.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's when the fear came in, like, don't shoot it, you know, just do this. And so I became a role player, and I lost my identity, you know, as that, you know, that aggressive, won the ball, you know, I began to pass more. And so that affected me actually my whole career for a long time.
I remember in high school, we went to a game, and we were like, yes, Sandora, let Sandora run the point, let her run the point, because nobody can stop her. Like, she was slapping everybody ball in the game. She was slapping the guys' ball in PE. You know, it was her. And I can tell you a story. I mean, when I first seen Sandora, I don't know if I told you this. When I first seen Sandora, I was, like, in the stands, and she had a basketball in her hand, and she was playing. Then one of my friends at the time, he was like, hey, man, you know, she's going to the WNBA. Like, yeah. So, I ain't going to lie. I said, damn, she looked kind of cute. I ain't going to lie. I was, like, looking at her. Like, okay. She did. I said, look at her. She balled her butt. You know, I had my crew, she had her crew, but it was cool, you know. But like she said, you always had the ball in your hand. So, and in college, you know, I was watching in college and you getting blocks. And I think you got defensive player of the year one time, right? Mm-hmm. That I was watching you too. I used to be on the couch like, dang, man, Sandora got to, you know, pull her back in the game. But the transition of, like, from you being the, you know, person always with the ball, versus you going to WNBA, I know it's gonna be kind of tough because now they tell you to take a back seat and you to that leadership role. Because in high school, you just be that leader, like, okay, that's Sandora, that's the leader right there. I see you walk with your head up, that's Sandora, she finna do a thing. Y'all blew one team out one time, I was like, dang, well, they didn't want to let you out of the game, but you was doing your thing, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's tough. So how did that humble you?
Oh, I would say, because as we're talking and I'm thinking back on it, I you know, we talk about the spiritual aspect of it. If we were to go back, you know, before I started playing basketball, I remember we just go back to my childhood. One, being the only child, and being I think second grade. You know, my grandma raised me, so, and I can remember the day my mom had me. I was very, very attached to my mom, and I remember my mom, you know, at the time I didn't know what she was struggling with, drug addiction at the time, and there are some moments in your life, you know, at 36, you can remember some, not everything, but there's some moments you can remember, and I remember being in the second grade, and there were some people that came, and they had candy when I was in the office, and they were asking me questions, and there was one of the questions, like, well, did your mom beat you? And I was like, you know, I can't remember how old you are in second grade, but I remember saying, yeah, she, you know, if I get in trouble, she beats me, you know, And after that, I just remember that I no longer was with my mom. I was in my grandma's care. So I get bits and pieces of those things, but that's something that was, I guess, a traumatic moment in my life and something I really remember. And so now here I am, this only child. You know, my mom, I'm not with my mom. My dad is, you know, he's a good dad. He comes around sometimes, but he's, you know, doing his thing. But now I'm just here with my grandma. And I remember I was more of an introvert, so I didn't have a lot of friends, you know, and I was extremely tall, so, you know, but people, I got along with people, but I was just a little different. And I remember one day we were living in Cyprus, and they built a park outside, and I should say, oh, that park was built for me. And I remember going outside, my grandma, she didn't like it, she didn't like, you know, young girls being outside, because the guys out there, I was the only girl on the court, there was no guys out there, so she couldn't stand it. You know, but I was just drawn to that park. And I remember going out there one day after they built, then there was a basketball court. And I was already tall, and I didn't like basketball. I didn't know anything. I didn't really know basketball like that. And I remember just waiting to get in. You know, there was a lot of guys out there. They were playing. And I guess they had no choice because I had been waiting so long.
Yeah.
So they let me in the game. And I remember just blocking one guy's shot. And everybody was like, ooh, the crowd went crazy. And I remember just liking the way that felt, you know, liking the way everybody just went crazy. And I was like, okay, this is going to be my neck. You know, this is going to be my neck. So the crazy thing about it, I didn't know how to shoot. I didn't know how to dribble. I didn't know. The only thing I knew how to do was block a shot. And so that's what, because I got that type of, you know, attention, they would pick me on the team. That's what I did. But basketball, so I started playing. I started going out there. They gave me something to do, you know. They gave me something. And then all of a sudden, I don't remember. I had a coach that somehow, you know, the way God works, she found me. I started going. I went to middle school, Pompano Middle, and I had my first coach. She followed me around, you know, the school. And I was so tall. She's like, play basketball. I was like, no, I don't want to play. I want to cheer, you know, whatever the case may be. But I was so tall. And she would do it, follow me every day around the school. And I remember just getting tired. She wore me out. And I was just like, okay, I'll play. And went to practice. And I tell you, I fumbled the ball. Didn't know how to do anything, you know. But I stayed with it. And I remember that we went to the championship. We went all the way to the championship. And we lost. And I just remember that moment, something happened to me where I felt something. Like, I felt this... Like, we're going to get them back next year. And I think she still had this letter. I wrote a letter. I said, you know, we're going to go undefeated next year. We're going to go undefeated, you know, and we're going to win the whole thing. And sure enough, we went undefeated. I think she still has a letter, you know, but I found my passion in that. But not only that, I started playing AAU. So now you have this kid that had no friends, you know, didn't really know who they were. Feeling rejected, you know, no mother, no, why am I, you know, I would see my friends and their mom, why is my mom not with me? You know, I have my grandma, I know she loved me, but, you know, where's my family? Where is my love? You know, so, and I didn't understand all this until later when I started having different issues in WNBA, but there was a lot of rejection and there was a lot of validation problems that I had, you know, that didn't show when I was in college. It didn't show when I was in high school. Because I got a lot of it from, you know, from playing because I was so good that people, they catered to me and love, you know, I got the love, like Sandora this and Sandora that, you know. So then now when you're going into the WNBA, you're not getting that type of affirmation. You have to be confident, you know. Yeah. And so I think that was, it wasn't necessarily fear, but more of, I think that I was not mentally and emotionally mature enough to handle people not encouraging me, you know, and especially at a time when you're not playing, your third pick in the WNBA draft, and but you're not playing, you tend to feel like coach doesn't like me, this person don't like me, and that person don't like me. And instead of being positive, instead of like working, what I took the other role, which was to just say, oh, they don't like me, and I don't want to be here type role.
Okay.
Yeah, and so, but I do think that that was necessary. And when we look at the spiritual standpoint of it, there were some other things behind the scene, which a lot of time go on with players that all the fans see is they see what they do on the court.
Yeah.
They don't see what goes on behind the scenes. They don't see what they deal with emotionally. We just talked about the other day that at TCU, there's a player that, Boykins, I don't know his first name, but he beat his girlfriend up, you know, and, he lost his, you know, he no longer playing with the Seattle team. And, you know, and so there's a lot of things that we as athletes deal with. And we make good money and, you know, different things like that. But people ignore the other things, you know, emotions. And so I think that a lot of that was exposed. And I saw, like, where I was immature and I couldn't handle that level. Those girls are mature.
So, like you said, everybody, like, let's say, like, LeBron James and, like the NBA players, WNBA players, we see the glory on the court. They good, and the media bring them to a level that, okay, they are great. I guess that's the sales stuff. But behind the scenes, like you said, the spiritual standpoint, especially you as a Christian, or, you know, if you're not a Christian, you don't know actually what they're going through.
Right.
But I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, like these teams, they want you to perform. Like, that's all they care about, you performing. Like, they don't really care about the person. Like, what you could do for me, the team, and everything. And that's what they pay you for. At this point in your life, right, let's go to the WNBA. For, let's say you got a chance to talk to any, like, young ladies who actually want to go to WNBA. And not talking about WNBA, but what's behind the scenes. What can you tell us behind the scenes in the WNBA that if a young lady is listening, that she's not really, she sees the glory in basketball, the coach, and everything that was going on, right? But behind the scenes, like, mm-hmm. what would you say, hey, look, this is what's going on. I'm going to prepare you for this. Don't make the mistakes that I made or what I, how I was thinking. What would you tell a young lady that who's actually going to go through the draft?
Well, I would say, you know, one of my things is when I talk to young, I like to talk to those kids that are not playing. I like to, I'm an encourager. Because when you, if somebody can come back and tell me, okay, don't have that attitude, you know, because attitude is everything, you know, mm-hmm. how you handle things, it can make or break you. So if I had more of an attitude, like, okay, you know, I'm not playing, let me work, you know,
yeah.
I would still be playing, I could overcome it. But if once you get in your mind that nobody likes you and nobody cares, it's a downhill from there. So when I do talk to young girls, I try to, try to encourage them to just work hard and have fun. Because in that situation, you know, whereas when I was in high school and college, I was having a good time. Like when you feel good and you play good, you just play. It's platonic. Mm-hmm. It's organic. It's, you know, you don't worry about it. When you start worrying about other stuff, it's, you're done for. It's hard to play. So I just encourage them, that if they're going through things, like I had a teammate that actually went to TCU with me, and my situation was different. She was a point guard, and coming in, I started, you know, coming in, and she was asked to redshirt because we had a senior guard, you know, and she couldn't handle it, you know, she couldn't handle not starting, and it wasn't that she wasn't good, it was just that a point guard's role compared to a post player's role is way different. Point guard is like the coach on the court, you know, so they had a senior. So they just wanted her to sit back and learn. We're going to give you 5 years. It's yours, you know, just be patient. And she couldn't be patient. So, and she ended up leaving. And we talked before. She's like, I wish I would have stayed, you know. So just trying to get young women to, or anybody, you know, really to, this is just period in life, just to understand, just to chill, you know, and just kind of like look at it from a different perspective and just, you know, think before you act, you know, yeah. and see what you can control, you know, yeah. and what you can change from your perspective and make it better. But just to not to give them hope, you know, yeah. and encourage them. Also, I think that for me, everybody have different perspectives on the WNBA. You know, you've heard, you know, about the homosexuality and yeah. you've heard about different things. I feel like, you know, basketball is great. I feel like women's basketball is amazing too. One of the things that I do feel like being an athlete, it can take from you is your femininity. You know, you have a lot.
Really?
You have a lot of women that are basketball, you know, it causes us to be very independent.
Okay. So, okay. See, so, I didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
But why do you feel that it makes women, like, unfeminizing them, right? I guess that's the word.
Yeah.
Like, why does it do that?
Well, because, you know, we used to always say the coaches want you to be tough, okay. you know, gritty, you know, mm-hmm. hard. Okay. Those are the type of players they want, you know. And so, when you look at other women, they're more dainty and, you know, soft. And you have, some of us are, you know, you have Candace Parkers and you have the Skylar Diggins. But we train. We lift weights. Mm-hmm. You know, we have muscles, you know,
yeah.
compared to some other women. I think that a lot of people criticize that. You know, like, oh, they're men, you go through that. But it does make you hard. And when you talk about feminism, like, we're the type of women that we do have our own. We have our own money. We travel. We see the world. You know, we have our own businesses. You know, we do a lot of things, you know. And I think it's crazy because sometimes, like, when a man plays basketball, you know, back in the day, that's kind of the role. Men would go to work, women would stay home. But now if you have a woman that's playing in the WNBA, because we don't make the money that men make, so we have to play WNBA for 5-6 months of the year, and then we go overseas 5-6 months a year. It's, you know, where's the husband come in at? Because now she's away, you know, she's away all year.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So it makes them independent. It makes them, you know, majority of the women, then that's where you find the lesbianism comes in.
And that,
you
know, question, what's the divorce, like, the divorce rate? Like, if you're a WNBA player, what's the divorce rate there? Would you know by offhand?
I would actually more say how many are married. Yeah, I never thought about the divorce rate because, I don't think, well, there's marriage now, but it's more same-sex marriage.
Okay.
Actually, it's crazy, but I don't know. There's not too many
same-sex marriage in the WNBA.
Not same-sex, but heterosexual marriage.
Okay. Yeah.
I can't even look at a divorce rate.
Oh, okay. But they barely getting married. Like, the women, they barely getting married because they travel a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. You spend more, you sacrifice. Yeah. Again, the men, they make millions, so they don't have to go out of the country.
Yeah.
Think about the times when I was playing, I would go WNBA, mm-hmm. I would finish up and go straight back overseas. And when I'm done overseas, I would maybe take 2 weeks to go back to WNBA,
Do you feel that that's good for women? Like, women having fun playing is good, but do you feel like, would that be like a hindrance on like society or something, is that, you say, kind of like masculine women, and after it's over, right, you finish playing WNBA and stuff like that, and they actually want to get married and start dating, how many women offhand, they probably know, struggle with something like that,
mm-hmm.
trying to find a companion, because from high school to college to WNBA, then now they're not really being a dating scene like that.
Yeah, most of the girls, I get what you're saying, most of the young women that, have boyfriends, they probably would, if they play in the WNBA, that's probably what they would do.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't see them really going overseas, or they would go and they probably wouldn't stay too long because it's distance.
Okay.
I actually love to hear a young lady, that thinks it through, say, okay, I like basketball, I love it, but I'm going to go ahead and, work, get me a job here. And that wasn't for me, okay. Overseas wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
You have some women that are saying that now, that they're okay. And there was one player that's really good, mm-hmm. but she was just like, yeah, it's just not for me, and her boyfriend plays NFL, and she, took a job, really good job, she
mm-hmm.
put a degree to use.
Okay.
She put a degree to use. I'm all for, when us doing things, and like I said, basketball was part of my life, I'm all for it. But I do think that it hinders and it can be a problem, as far mm-hmm. as on the dating scene and when it comes to those, a man and a woman's relationship.
So, we talk on the phone, we talk, and you be dropping jewels on me, you talk. So now, let me ask you something. Because a lot of women who might listen to it, I want you to hear what Sandora got to say. From your perspective, what is a role of a woman?
I'm old-fashioned.
Okay. Well, I wanted to hear.
Yeah, I am very old-fashioned. And I wasn't always like this because the way I grew up, I didn't see marriage. I saw my grandma, I saw strong black women, my mom, they worked. My grandma, she kept a job for years, and the way she raised me, straight A's, I went to school every day. So that part for me comes natural.
Okay.
I'm very independent. I'm very,
mm-hmm.
I would say this. Yeah, you could say this. I don't need a man mm-hmm. to do anything, which is good, actually, because when mm-hmm. God, when I think about it, God said, you it's not half and half, half of me, half of you, it's two whole people coming together.
Okay.
So, but I'm old fashioned in that, yes, I can go out and get the bread, I can clean my house, I can do all these things, but two is better than one, and mm-hmm. I'm old fashioned in that way, and that kind of, I think that for the first couple of years, I didn't have this desire. I was okay because I was traveling so much. I know I didn't have time for it. I know mm-hmm. that I couldn't, really get myself in that place. I was actually engaged at one point, but I just wasn't ready, because yeah. I was still traveling, doing things. But as you get older and you realize, okay, basketball is not going to last forever,
Exactly.
And you may want a family, mm-hmm. it's like some female instincts start kicking in. It's like, I want kids,
mm-hmm.
at some point,
yeah.
Also, our bodies, just kind of start breaking down, and you just get older. You know, men, they play for a long time, but with women, I don't think, you know, after 40, 40, 41, 42. You have some, I've seen some women that play 44, you know, but that's getting up there. It's getting up there, you know, at age. And so I think that we should start thinking about that, you know, in our 30s, you know, start working towards that, you know, the family, if that's something that we want to do.
Okay.
Yeah. But again, going back to the question, I'm old fashioned, so I believe in marriage. I believe in marriage between a woman and a man. And, but I just think that playing basketball, just, you know, there's things that I question too. Like, you know, when I get around guys, you know, are they worrying about the muscles? Are they worrying about the independence? You know, are they, like a lot of guys tell me they're intimidated.
Okay.
You know, and is it because I know who I am? Is it because I'm a strong woman? You know, this is just a lot of things, a lot of questions, you know. And then we talk about submitting.
Yeah.
And
what about that? Like submitting? Could you submit to a man?
Yeah, I can. Because you just have to. It's some people, I think people run from that. Like, they ain't gonna tell me what to do. But that's not what it is.
But why do women say that?
Because they feel like, women feel like it's, you know, we feel like we're equal sometimes. Like, which we are. God made us equal.
Okay.
But he just made, he put things in place, in order.
Okay.
You know, he made the woman a weaker vessel. And and some things just are innate. It's nature. You just know that a man is stronger. It's just like saying, you know, I think, who was it? Mark Cuban said, oh, he's going to get a Brittany Griner, you know, a basketball player to play in the NBA. That just don't make sense. I know that we talk about equality and stuff like that, but to put a woman in the NBA, come on. You know, it's just, there's just some muscles that we don't have and some, you know, things that we don't have. And God did that for a reason. He gave man a little bit more, you know, as far as just being tougher. And not to say we're not tougher than y'all, but you see what I'm saying? Like, it's just some things that just come naturally that you don't even need God to tell you. You just know.
I believe
he's a natural protector.
It's certain areas. You understand that. I always say this right here. Women is better multitaskers than men.
Mm-hmm.
They can handle stuff. They can, like, if a baby crying, like, they understand what the baby is saying. Because they nurturers. They, you know, they understand. Like, a man, like, okay, I don't know what the baby's saying. What the baby want? But women, all women have it built into them.
Mm-hmm.
And women say that, oh, I'm not good enough to take care of a baby. I don't know. And that's like, no, it's in you.
Natural, yeah.
It's just natural. That's like, man, what we have is natural. We're not, some men is natural leaders. Some men just be natural to lead. You just have to tap into it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it takes another man to show you the way to tap into it, so you know this is where this is my place. This is what I have to do. You have to find your identity, you know, and it comes through your father.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have a father to show you who you are, then most of our women and men, they turn to the streets or the TV.
Mm-hmm.
So when they turn to that, okay, well, you know, this must be who I am. So that's when we have everybody want to be a rapper. Everybody want to be in the NBA. Everybody want to be in WNBA. Everybody want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for instance, like, I'm put like this. I'm drop some knowledge. For instance, I just recently got into the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
Nike is like $65 by one share. But you go to the store and buy some Nike, it's like $100. Why you won't own a piece of Nike for $65 and make money off of it versus you going to buy shoes? So it's stuff that we don't know. But back to that is men, some men just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not people being intimidated. It is some people be scared, but number one, you have to look at the heart. Like, if God won't judge you, he's going to look at your heart. He don't care how you look. He's looking at your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that most people, if is any women out there, and it's not about your looks. If the person look at your heart and they love you for who you are, then that's, I mean, you got a good guy. Like, you know, like a man, if a woman look at your heart and she judge you by your heart and your character and how you are, yes, you have some fool you out there from the beginning, but you be straight up off, be who you are first, and you won't have to change nothing later.
Right, right.
You know, that's what last thing I say. But, like I was saying, there's a lot of women out there I could say is that, you know, they feel that they're not worthy of the insecurities that they have.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, like you said, if your father wasn't there, like, for instance, my father, he was there, but, you know, I had to turn to God. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to study, pray, study, know who I am. And like you say, if God made men in his image, mm-hmm. guess what? And men, we made us the head, you know, we have to act like it.
Right.
We have to act like, because if we don't, then guess what? The women got to step up. Now the women got to step up. And guess what? Now the order is getting messed up. The order is getting messed up. And God is the God of order.
Right.
So if he made God, man, woman, children, explain to y'all right there. That's the order. And that's the line for blessings. Like, that's the blessings line. Like, it mm-hmm. rains down from the man to the mother, to the children. Mm-hmm. You know, but back to what you were saying. Because I want you to help our women out.
Yeah, I think we it's just a lot, you know, it's a lot that someone, you know, people can say, you know, it's a lot that goes into it. Like, I think the training starts at home. You know, like you said, when you have the marriage, first of all, you have a marriage, you have a husband and a wife, and a lot of kids, it's not what you tell them, it's what they see. You could say a lot of stuff, but then if you live in a certain way, a lot of things that I learned was not by what my grandma said, but I learned when she was just doing different things, you know. So I didn't have the male in the house, but I had her, so I was watching her get up every morning and go to work, you know, keep the bills paid, keep a roof over our head. You know, I didn't see a man doing that, but that was the role of the man that you hear, you know. So as a woman, that's something I know how to do. Now, and as women too, because of, you know, most of our men, whether they're locked up or they have challenges nowadays, but it's always, since day one, a woman has always been able to work, mm-hmm. take care of the kids, you know, keep food on the table. She's built like that.
Yep.
You know, God made the woman like that, but it would just make it a lot easier. You know, she wouldn't be as stressful if she had help, you know, and that's why I say that, okay, yeah, I may not need necessarily a man to pay my bills. I mean, I need him, but it would be nice to have one to pay my bills. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, that way, you know, and in living in where we live today, things are expensive and you want to have things. You want to put your kids through college. You want to travel, you know, and that's where two becomes better than one. It's like, it's not saying that, woman, you know, you have to, like, give up your hopes and your dreams. Hey, both of y'all do it. Hey, you go to school, study, you know, and follow your passion. He following his passion, or y'all doing something together.
Yeah.
You know, and then now you can put your kids in the best schools. You can travel and see the world. You know, you can't really do that, or you could, you know, if you really work hard. But you're gonna, if you're single doing it, it's gonna be difficult. You know, you're gonna miss a lot of sleep. You're gonna miss a lot of time with the kids. You know, because you're gonna be working two or three jobs. You know, trying to, you know, put them through school, whatever the case may be. So, and then when we talk about submitting, it's not necessarily that he can walk over the woman. It's more of allowing him to, because even in submission, like, the man, he makes a good man will console his wife.
Exactly.
You know, he's gonna, because he knows she's the brain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he understands that, you know, that's why he married her. When he looks for one, he want to find someone that he can trust and go to, you know, and get her opinion. But a lot of women are scared of that word submission, you know, and, but again, bringing it back to basketball, I think it's just, I sit back and try to understand some things too. Like I said, getting just back with the homosexuality and the things that are so dominant in our league, you know, me, myself, I question, like, what's wrong? What's up? You know, and, you know, could it be, you know, that, like I said, this fact that we're going after money, too. We're chasing the money, too. We're chasing our careers, you know, and that leaves, you know, some issues there, you know. Mm. And like I said, it's crazy. You say, what's the divorce rate? But I don't know too many marriages.
Too many marriages there. Yeah. You know, I mean, you've been out of the WNBA for a while now, from the outside looking in now, and I know you probably talked to a couple of people still playing, you know, you probably do. You know, how you think that, how God really feel? Like, if you can actually talk to God, what you think he'll say about the WNBA and, you know, you say like the homosexuality going on in there?
I would say for me, like when I remember how I told you basketball, I you know, mom gave me up, I fell in love with this game, you know, and it gave me a sense of identity, you mm-hmm. know, then people began to, I got love from playing ball. So I did well because I, you know, it you know, you got the rewards from it, and it gave me so much more. And but now I'm in a place where now I'm not, you know, you get drafted and you go, you're not playing. So now it's like, who am I? Yeah, you know, you start questioning, who am I now? You're not getting the support and the love mm-hmm. that you was getting when you was balling. You know, now you're not doing well. And I thank God for it, because I was headed down that road. You know, mm-hmm. I had my testimony, I was there, you know, where, you know, it happened, you know, I started liking women, but it wasn't something that I was in high school doing. Balling was my basketball. Spalding. You know, that basketball was like, you know, we watched Love Basketball. She would say, they said, "Who are you going to prom with?" Spalding, you know, yeah. And like, I was that girl. Like, basketball was like everything, you know, but I was exposed to that yeah. lifestyle. I was exposed to it. I remember like, I battled it. And, you know, I grew up in church. Not saying I fully knew God the way I do now, but I knew that from what I was taught, this is wrong, you know, mm-hmm. but that's all you see, you yeah, know.
Okay.
And we had a player, you know, come out named Candace Wiggins, and she talked about it. She said she was bullied and things like that. And people asked me how I feel about it. And yeah, it's there, you know, mm-hmm. it's there. And I don't necessarily know necessarily if you get bullied, but you have to be tough and you have to know who you are. And I don't think that's just with women's basketball. I think in NBA, I think it's, you know, for us, it's homosexuality. But in the NBA, it's cheating on your wives, you yeah. know, yeah. Your teammates bringing women and, you know, it, yeah. men go through that too, but maybe not, you know, on that level, but more of women, yeah. You know, having to resist that, you know, yeah. and it's encouraged. It's mm. encouraged. Don't bring your wife, you know, we got you this and, you know, come on, go out here. So that's encouraged. So you in those places, you have to know who you are. And so mm-hmm. with any young lady like playing, you know, just that they're gonna go through it, you know, sometimes you just know they're gonna go through it, you gotta pray for them. But it's just, I encourage them to know who they are, like, and that's not just with homosexuality, but with drinking goes on, yeah. you know, partying goes on, and you know, we, you know, you get yeah. into a lot of all kind of stuff, and that's going to, it's just in sports, period. It's a lot of things that you're exposed to, that's free to you, given to you, you know, you VIP everywhere you go. And so it's a lot of challenges that, mm-hmm. you know, these kids, even college players, that they face, because again, they, when you good, you know, people give you all kind of stuff, you know? Yeah. And so, you just try to, you know, for me, I have this nonprofit called Born With a Purpose, and we try to get them young, try to talk to the young, the high school kids and the middle school kids, and we do a free camp, and part of it's basketball and part of it's classroom, and okay. in there we try to talk to them, you know, we teach them and we put them on the court, but then we let them know, hey, it's more to it than just basketball, you know, what do mm-hmm. you want to do? Basketball, you play basketball, but that's not who you are,
yeah,
you know, and so what do you want to do with your time, you know, playing this game, and it's not going to last forever. You know, it's not going to be there forever. What do you want to do after it's over? That's where I'm at now. You know, I'm not playing anymore. So now it's like, okay, what's next?
Yeah.
Like, what? And it's like, if you're not careful and basketball is all you know, you find people killing themselves.
Yeah.
You know, you find people strung out on drugs because those things are their identity. They didn't know who they were. You know, and for me, it was good that God sat me on the bench. It was a good thing. At the time, it didn't feel like it. But it was good because I was headed down the wrong
road.
Yeah. You know, and he was like, okay, this is not your identity. This is not who you are. This is what you do. This is a gift, but you need to know me. So in that time that I was going through, I end up crying out to God because I just couldn't understand why I wasn't playing, you know, and but yeah, I'm still in this league. And there's times where I want to quit. I can remember my second season. If they were here today, I called my GM, I called my manager, and I was like, I'm done. I don't want to play anymore. Mm-hmm. And they called me back like 30 minutes later, like, okay, you're traded to San Antonio. you know, and I was like, how can you train somebody that just quit? Yeah. And that's when God, you know, he let, in my spirit, I felt him saying, you know, because I said, okay, I want to evangelize. I just go do ministry. You know, mm-hmm. I don't want to do this. I didn't want to go through that. And he was, it's like, almost like God was saying, no, this is where I have you. This is where mm-hmm. I have you. This is where your ministry is, mm-hmm. you know. And so even in times when I wasn't playing, I was talking to my teammates. There would be players that come in that were technically supposed to compete with me for my spot, and we would end up being, and I'm supposed to hate them. I'm supposed to hate that player. Mm-hmm. But that would be the player I end up ministering to.
Because I remember you was, you told me one time you was used to have Bible study mm-hmm. in your apartment in San Antonio.
Yeah, I had that player I told you that was the one that would I laughed because this is the player that I actually watched. She had a Nike, she had a Reebok commercial. I don't know mm-hmm. if you heard. It was like she shoots, she scores, Marie Ferdinand. It was something mm-hmm. like that. And I just watched the commercial all the time, and I met on there. She was the one, we were roommates. She was older than me, and she woke me up. You know, she had a kid, so she got up early in the morning. She'd be up at like 5 o'clock in the morning. We on the road. We got a game. She'd be up bright and ready to go. And she'd be like, come on, let's read. Let's pray. Let's read. You know, and I'm just like, okay, let me brush my teeth. You know, let me brush my teeth. But, yeah, we would have Bible study, you know. So I wasn't playing, but I was ministering,
yeah.
You know. And maybe that was God's will, because maybe if I was so focused on the game, I was, in, you know, doing my thing, I wouldn't have time for the Lord and had time for those. Yeah. Those people that were coming in, you know, there I still get cards nowadays from some of the girls that were like, thank you. And they were struggling with the lifestyle. You know, they were struggling with a lot of things, you know, what's going on with them.
And this is what I tell you. I know, I mean, not to get personal, everybody, but, you know, this is me and Sam, we talk, and I try to encourage her a lot. But, you know, you have to push your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
God using you. You know, you go through stuff for a reason. On Jennifer Lewis, she, you know, went through stuff in a period of her life that God using her now for the ministry,
mm-hmm.
just like you. I tell people all the time, don't feel bad. If you're going through something, don't feel bad. There's a reason why you're going through it.
Right.
You know, God might place these feelings in you that, oh, I got to do this. I must do this. I want to do this. When can you do it? And God said, oh, dang, God brought me from here. You know, you have to think about others. You got to have a heart for others. Mm-hmm. Like, you motivate the kids and you motivate others. You know, God, he sees the big picture. I always tell people that what I learned is God have the parade view of your life. We are in the parade, walking in the streets, but he's on top in the sky looking at the end of the parade. So he knows your end.
Mm-hmm.
So that, me personally, that encourages me because I know God knows the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't have to worry as much,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is pretty cool. And just for you, you know, you've been through a lot. You've been all over the world. You've seen different people, homeless people, just all over, high, low, everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I like how you accepted it. This is me. This is what's going on. This is my life. Now, a lot of people don't have that like chance to have that knowledge and understanding. Like, okay, well, you know what? Hey, I've been through this, and God bring me here, so now this is what I got to do. What's next?
Mm-hmm.
And me personally, I believe that what's next is for you to use your testimony, your voice, talk to the other people.
Right.
WNBA, whoever, just kids who high school use that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because what's what we have to do?
Right.
We've been talking for a while, like, we're what, 42 minutes now, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but another thing I want to ask you, to you being like a woman of God now,
mm-hmm.
and you like spend like a lot of time with him,
mm-hmm.
right? Women who struggling to hear God's voice, what type of advice you would give them to get closer to God more?
The Bible, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, and we go back to marriage, because God in the marriage is God's, that's how Jesus relates to us. He says, we're the bride. Right? Okay. He's coming back for that bride. That scripture in the Bible says a man that finds a wife,
mm-hmm.
finds a wife, finds a good thing, obtains the favor from the Lord. One of the things when we look at that scripture, it says find a wife. So that means she's already a wife. A wife to who? You see, so he doesn't find a girlfriend. He finds a wife. That means she's already in that role.
Yeah.
So what I've learned over the years is that when I've tried to figure out, okay, how am I supposed to, who am I as a woman? How does that look? What is that, you know, I'm very independent, very strong, very, you know, stubborn at times, you know. And in my relationship with the Lord, like, I found out that the first relationship for a woman is with him.
Exactly.
And he is not only a father, but he's almost, he's like a husband. He's an Isha, that's what they call him, you know. And so before I can give myself to a man, I first must give myself to him. Once you learn how to submit to God, it submit to a man is not hard.
Wow. Say that again. Yes. I want you to say that again. Say that again.
Yeah, once you learn to submit to a man, to God, submitting to a man is not hard. That's where it's not a problem. Because you already know how to trust God.
Okay.
You know, so then when you trust God, you trust him to bring you the right person or the right job or the right, you know, and that's how it's been for me. It's just like, I take my, you know, and as someone coming out of homosexuality, you know, coming out of those, just everything, vainness and wanting things just for myself, you know, it's all about submission. Life is about submitting to God, you know. You can have things, but don't let things have you. God allows us to have money, cars, gifts, abilities, jobs, you know, all kind of things, everything we want is in his life. But at the end of the day, he also says that this all fades away, you know. Mm. So what's left? What's left is you and him at the end of the day. You know, there is no marriages in you. I don't think there's marriage in heaven, you know. So out of everything, it's just that we have to submit to God, you know. And I think that's what happened in that time where I was going through. It was perfect because it caused me to humble myself and say, okay, God, you know, I need you, because I never really said that before, even though I was going to church, you know. But now that I'm humble, and sometimes you go through some things because God has to humble you to get you to the point where you do need him. And so in that time, it brings you to that place where you're like, as a woman, you're like, you look, now I look to him, because yeah, okay, I didn't have the man in the household. So guess where most of my question is like, okay, how am I supposed to act? How am I supposed to dress? I ask God that. You know, because now you look around and you don't know what, you know, you got women dressing like this. This is what the world tells you to look like, you know, wear this and wear that, you know, and I'm just like, you know, what's pleasing unto you?
Yeah.
So as a woman, we have to, you know, you first go to your father, he's your husband, you know, and you ask him, you submit to him and you see who, because he knows what he put in you. So if he give you the ability to play basketball, nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
Play basketball, you know, and the Bible says, seek my kingdom and my righteousness. So even in playing, don't forget who you are, you know, whatever job or career, go do that. God gave you that gift. Be mighty women. Yeah. You know, most guys, they want strong women, you know, strong woman. That's powerful, more powerful than a weak woman that just submit to him and he, you know, he control everything. She doesn't do anything, you know, no man.
Exactly.
That.
Exactly.
Yeah. So just to build that relationship with God first before anything else, because you really can't give yourself to anything else, not just a man, but to anything else. You don't know how to be a mother. You don't know how to do anything without God's wisdom, because he's the only one that knows those kids, what they're going to be. So you have to pray and ask him how to raise them up, you know, when he gives it to you, it's from him, you know, everything is from him, you know. But even playing basketball, it's like, once I realized, okay, this is for you, you know, once I still played for another 10 years after that, it became more of, okay, this is for your glory, you know, but it took me going through.
Took you going through that fire to become gold.
Yeah.
You know, that's what most ladies have to do. You go through that fire to become gold.
Mm-hmm.
I think I heard somebody say that, you know, when a woman is looking for a man, she find a devil. You know, women shouldn't be actually looking for a man, but how do women dress nowadays? And I think I said the statistic on the Railcast. Shouts out to Boy Rail. Said that for every one man is four women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like the man is slimming.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, man's getting locked up. So a lot of women like have to settle for these men because There's none out there.
Yeah. But when you know who you are, and when you go back to the identity, now that, okay, basketball is not who I am. Okay, that's gone. Because obviously that's not who I am, because I'm not that player anymore. Like, or in my mind, I'm not, you know, I'm sitting on the bench. Mm-hmm. Everything in my world that I identified with and that made me feel validated is gone. Now I turn to my father and he's telling me, you are the head and not the tail. You are, you know, you can do all things with Christ who strengthens you. You know, he's telling me these things and now I'm, okay, you know, this is who I am. And now when that a guy comes, he can't come to me any kind of way. And it's not that I'm not this, I'm not that, I just know who I am. So, you know, I'm not looking for to be your girlfriend. You know, I'm somebody's wife. You see what I'm saying? So because I know who I am. So it's women have to get in to know their father and let him tell them who they are.
Yeah. But the way they figure it out is what?
The way they figure it out. In that time with him.
Time with him. Yeah. Okay. A lot of women are not spending time with
him. Get in your word. You know, it's not just going to church and hearing the pastor. Open up your Bible. Like, exactly. You know, a lot of preachers, you know, they say women can't preach and da 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 da. Okay, mm-hmm. You know, but we can get in our word, you know, and God wants us to know him too, you know. Yeah. And he said for the women to teach the young women and to teach the children, you know. Yeah. How do you teach them if you don't know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have to get to know God for ourselves.
Okay. So, you know, I do is I'm gonna give you the floor. Motivated for Christ, I'm gonna give you the floor. I want you to say something to the people to motivate them. If they're listening in their car or, you know, they're listening at work, can you give them a word of encouragement to motivate them to keep going and be strong in the Lord and keep it moving, you know, and seek him first?
I would just stick with that. I would say that we live in a world where we honestly don't have control, you know, of anything. You know, you got school shootings, you have, I think I was another thing in Florida, somebody, you know, FIU, they drove and the bridge fell down on these things. Yeah. You know, we all have, I like to say expiration dates, just like a food. You know, we have an expiration date. And sometimes we think we're so in control of our lives, you know, but every last one of us have a day when we're going to expire and we do not know that date. You know, we here today, gone tomorrow. My mom passed away. My best friend passed away. We had no idea that they were going to be gone, you know. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that the name of my organization is called Born with a Purpose. We have to live on purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a way to enjoy life, you know, and give your best, you know, but don't forget about God. You know, there's a way, you know, you can have things, you know, like I said, have a job and play basketball and do whatever your heart desires, but don't let it have you. Keep God at the forefront of it. You know, keep it, you know, do it for his glory. You know, I've said that to any Christian, any man or woman of God. It's just the only thing that lasts is that. Like, you may not understand anything else, but I think that the Bible says that God, I know the Bible says that God gives a peace that surpasses all understanding. There are so many things that we just don't understand.
Yeah.
Just beyond us, you know, that, you know, this job, do I take this one? You know, sometimes you have a good job in front of you, have another good job in front of you. Which one do I go? Which way do I take? You know, you don't know. And so that's where that relationship with God comes in. I can say, okay, God, I don't know which one. Close this door, the door that you don't want me to walk through, and open the door that you do want me to walk through. Make some things happen because I really can't see. You know, you may have a dude that, you know, he looks like, and you get, he was all that, you know, he talked a good game, and then at the end of the day, he's like, oh, that's what, not what we, you know, I'm married. So, and even in that decision making, it's like, God, show me what, you know, choose that one for me, or, you know, so just, it's like, when you had a relationship with him, get that relationship with him and involve him in everything, because we don't know. You don't know the things that's going to happen. You don't, you know, sometimes you don't understand it. And a lot of people are depressed. A lot of people are on drugs. It's a lot of depression going on right now. A lot of things, people killing themselves, a lot of suicide because they don't have hope, you know. So I would just strongly say, you know, build a relationship with God, you know. Put that trust in him, even if you can't see him. You know, I feel like it's better to do that than just kind of be out here like this. Because we don't know. what tomorrow holds. We don't know what our future holds. Sometimes we don't know who we are, but he can help us to identify and, like I said, keep going.
Okay, yeah, I heard it first. My good saying, Sandor Irvin. Hope I enjoyed it. Another Motivate for Christ. Want to give a shout out to him. Tall. He's still out of town, you know. You want to say something to Terry?
What's up, Terry? Haven't seen him in a while. Long time.
Long time.